Ladies and gentlemen, due to a very serious oversight on our part, we of the staff of the Hector Q. Peabody Show neglected to mention at the close of our last program the name of our engineer.
Therefore, we'd like to take this time just before our program begins to rectify this error.
We feel that everyone who has a part in the Hector Q. Peabody Show should be duly recognized and be congratulated for doing so.
Yes, because we believe in the old axiom of give credit where credit is due.
And therefore, we feel that this moment, before we begin our program for this time, is the right moment for us to give the credit where the credit is due.
And the credit that we were going to give was, what was it we were going to say?
Well, I don't know. Maybe our credit isn't any good.
Could be.
Let's have the theme, Joe. Huh? Go ahead.
Dan, guess what?
Chow, come down. Take it easy. What's the matter?
Listen to this. I just talked to Hector on the phone, and he says he's on his way over here. He promises to be here before the end of the half hour.
Really?
Yeah, and that's not all. He promises to be here every week from now on.
Oh, no, that's terrific. Great news. How about that?
I'm so excited I can hardly talk.
Well, let's not talk. Let's just play the first record.
Fine, let's go. I don't know what it is, but... Oh, boy, Hector's coming.
Here's a silly ditty, you can sing it right away. Now here is what you say, so sing it while you may. Here's a silly jingle, you can sing it night or noon. Here's the words, that's all you need, cause I just sang the tune. Oh, I don't want her, you can have her, she's too fat for me. She's too fat for me, she's too fat for me. I don't want her, you can have her, she's too fat for me. She's too fat, she's too fat, she's too fat for me. I get dizzy, I get numble when I'm dancing with my jum jum jumbo. I don't want her, you can have her, she's too fat for me. She's too fat for me, she's too fat for me. I don't want her, you can have her, she's too fat for me. She's too fat, she's too fat, she's too fat for me. Prance up a hill. No, 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 no. Can she dance a quadrille? No, 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 no. Does she fit in your coupe? By herself, she's a group. Could she possibly sit upon your knee? No, no, no. Don't want her, you can have her. She's too fat for me. And she's too fat for me.
But she's just right for me.
We don't want her, you can have her. She's too fat for me. Yeah, she's too fat, much too fat.
But she's just right for me. She's so charming, and she's so winning.
But it's alarming when she goes in swimming. We don't want her, you can have her. She's too fat for me. She's too fat for me.
But she's just right for me. So I sure want her, you can't have her. She's just right for me.
But she's too fat.
But she's not too fat. She's just right for me.
She's a twosome, she's a foursome. If she'd lose some, I would like her more. Some I don't want her, you can have her. She's too fat for me. She's too fat for me. She's too fat for me. I don't want her, you can have her. She's too fat for me. She's too fat, much too fat. She's too fat for me. Hey!
Come in.
Hey, is this the Hector Q. Peabody Show?
Yes, that's right.
Well, I understand you hold auditions for new talent.
Oh, no, you must be mistaken. We've got all the talent we need right now. We don't need anyone else in the show, except maybe Hector Q. Peabody himself.
But I thought you was going to hold auditions here.
No, we weren't going to, and I'm awfully sorry, but...
Well, gee, I got so much talent, it's just bubbling over, and I want to just show you, so maybe give you a chance.
Well, I'm sorry, but Dan went out for coffee, and I don't have anything particular to do, so... And, well, what the heck, I might as well kill time, humor the guy. Okay,
Fairweather. Thunderstorm P. Fairweather.
Well, all right, Mr. Fairweather. What kind of talent do you have?
I do imitations.
Oh, yes?
Yeah.
Well, what is your first imitation?
Well, my first imitation is one dog. My second imitation is two dogs. And here is a lion roaring.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
And here's a chicken.
A chicken? Is that what you've got?
This is the chicken right here. Listen careful. This is one of my specialties.
You got to prepare for this?
Yeah, I have to take my breath, a deep breath.
Okay, take a deep breath.
All right, here.
Well, thanks. And now I think...
Listen to this one, Chuck. You really like this one.
What have you got
coming
up?
This one is my imitation of a steam whistle.
A steam whistle? Well, fine. Well, thank you, Mr. Farrell.
My next imitation is a duck quacking.
A duck? Okay. Well, that was great, Mr. Fairweather, but I'm sorry we won't be able to use
it. Listen to this one. This one will really drive you crazy.
Well, please, I have
much
time.
It's the best one I got. Oh, just listen to this one.
Yeah, what is this?
This is an imitation of the Super Chief coming in on time.
Well, that's fine. That is real good. I like that. But I'm afraid we won't be able to... No, you'll have to... We won't be able to... You'll have to stop. Mr. Fairweather, won't you please stop? Joe, please play a record or something. Mr. Fairweather, stop, huh? Please, Joe?
Why do robins sing in December, long before the springtime is due? And even though it's snowing, violets are growing. I know why, and so do you. Why do breezes sigh every evening, whispering your name as they do? And why have I the feeling stars are on my ceiling? I know why, and so do you. When you smile at me, I hear gypsy violins. When you dance with me, I'm in heaven when the music begins. I can see the sun when it's raining, hiding every cloud from my view. And why do I see rainbows when you're in my eyes? I know why, and so do you. When you smile at me, I hear gypsy violins. When you dance with me, I'm in heaven when the music begins. I can see the sun when it's raining, hiding every cloud from my view. And why do I see rainbows when you're in my eyes? I know why, and so do you.
now, friends, it's time to take a look into the news of the world. And here to give you a brief rundown of the important news of the hour is our despondent correspondent, John Cameron Slump.
Ladies and gentlemen, a good evening to you. Our first headline takes us to the Kremlin, where fighting has been continuing for the third day in a three-day battle for the happiness of Russian second story men. And now we switch you to Pravda for the story behind the story.
Hello from Pravda. This is J. Walter Windshield speaking from the center of the communist state of Russia, where a continuous uprising of the Red Sea has caused many a comment from the top men in the Kremlin. One such communist bigwig has stated,
"This is our vet."
And now back to our studios in the States.
Elsewhere in the steel city of Pittsburgh, there is uneasiness, for the 7,000 steel workers have become upset with the promise of a raise in pay for the 7,000 lumberjacks. We take you now to Pittsburgh, where we hear a steel worker quietly conferring with a lumberjack.
"Why, you bum, I'll beat you to a pulp."
"If you do, I'll steal away." We'll be back with the sports news in a moment, but now the weather. And for the weather, we switch to Clint Flint in Ewell, Michigan.
"Hi. Whether it's hot or whether it's cold, we've got to have weather. Maybe."
In the sports world, Carl Upstrom defeated Heinrich von Suppengreen for the World's Heavyweight Marble Championship. Jolton Rocky Maraschino crushed Cherry Nose Joey in an eight-round battle at Madison Round Garden. The Cleveland Indians won a game from the Cincinnati Pink Stockings. The Indians scalped Cincinnati, while the Pink Stockings only got one run. That's all the news for now. We take you now to the Oscar Levant Elementary School at 4763 North Outer Drive for an on-the-spot report of the fire drill, which is about to get underway out there. We have two of our newscasters there to give you an accurate description of this important event. So take it away, Bert Ellsworth and Walter Summerholm.
Well, thank you, Chuck, and this is Walter Summerholm here at 4763 North Outer Drive, just outside of the Oscar Levant Elementary School, where in a few minutes the students, ranging in age from 6 to 14, will be coming out with their teachers. On the inside of the building, Bert Ellsworth is all set with a roving microphone to tell you what's going on inside before the procession reaches the door. Bert, how's it going in there?
Pretty quiet, Walter. There's no one in the hall yet, as the drill is not scheduled to start until 8:45, which means that we have about 2 minutes to go, which gives me just about enough time to tell the folks a little about how the building is laid out in here. First of all, the hall in which I am standing now faces north and south, parallel with the outer drive, and has six rooms, three on each side. Now at the south end of this hall is a ladder leading to the roof, in case there should ever be a fire in the basement. While on the north end, which I am near, there is a revolving door leading out onto the street, and another hall which goes off on a 45-degree angle from the first. This one goes in sort of a southeasterly direction and doesn't lead anywhere, but that doesn't matter because the only room in this hall is the principal's office. Now, when the bell rings for the drill, the students will file out of their rooms in the north-south corridors in twos and leave the building by the north door where you're waiting right now. Each class will be accompanied by a teacher, and they will all pass in review before the principal and the fire department inspector right outside the door. They'll remain outside for 5 minutes and then return to their classes as though the fire had been extinguished, except for those who manage to sneak away when their teachers aren't looking, of course. Now, I think it's just about time for the signal. Yes, about 4 more seconds now. 3, 2, 1. Yes, here they come now. The first grade is in the lead, followed by the second and third, all in fairly good order. Here's the fourth grade. They're a little bit out of line. Someone is whistling, and the teacher has just hit him over the head with a ruler. There goes the seventh, and now the eighth grade. And I guess that's all of them, so I'll turn it over to you, Walter Summerholm.
Okay, Bert, thank you. And we already have the first grade out here. The teacher's just reprimanded one of the boys for pulling a little girl's hair. Now he's pulling the teacher's hair. The third grade is passing in review before the fire department grandstand now, and, uh-oh, a teacher's just fallen in the path of the fourth grade. It looks as though they're going to walk right over her. No, no, the janitor pulled her out of the way just in time. The sixth grade has passed by now, and they seem to be in exceptionally good order. I noticed that the teacher was carrying a sawed-off shotgun. Here's the seventh grade now, and the teacher's shouting at a youngster who's playing with a cigarette lighter. He doesn't seem to be paying much attention to her, but she's going over to talk to him. Oh, my gosh, he spit in her eye. Ah, she got even, though. She spit on the cigarette lighter and put it out. Here comes the eighth grade now, and I guess that's all of them. They'll wait out here for 5 minutes, and then... Holy smoke! The reviewing stand is on fire! Somebody lit a match to the reviewing stand. The principal's going to jump. The fire inspector is running for the fire alarm box. His coat's on fire. The reviewing stand is going up like tinder, and I think it's going to start the school building on fire. Yes, the flames are leaping toward the building already. The students are all cheering. Someone is playing the Star Spangled Banner on a harmonica. The fire inspector's put through his call, and I can already see the fire engines coming up the outer drive from a long way off.
School is really burning now. The entire north end is on fire. One of the teachers has just fainted. The youngster with the cigarette lighter is being slapped on the back by his fellow students. The principal is wringing his hands together and running around in circles. Now he's trying to carry water from the drinking fountain to put out the blaze. Oh, my gosh. Here comes Bert Ellsworth running out of the building. I'd almost forgotten about you, Bert.
Gee whiz. I thought it was hot in there. What's going on?
The school's on fire.
No kidding. Why doesn't somebody call the fire department?
They have, but I doubt if they'll ever get here in time. The building is really burning like blazes now. You want to take over for a moment, Bert? I've got to get my coat off.
Okay, well, the entire building is ablaze now. The fire engine just pulled up, but I'm afraid they're too late. It looks like the roof is going to go any minute. Yes, I can see it giving way now. There it goes. The roof is going. Well, the roof just fell in on this fire drill. The principal is making some kind of announcement, but I can't hear what he's saying because the students are making too much noise. Here comes Walter. Maybe he knows what it was all about. Hey, Walter, what did the principal say just now?
School is dismissed.
There is a song that's very easy to sing. Doesn't it have a sort of natural swing? You must admit that it's a cute little thing. Everywhere you go, you'll hear the carolling song. You can be sure that once you hear this refrain, you're gonna want to hear it over again. Along the street or down an old country lane, everyone is sure to sing the carolling song. This is the ditty, simple and pretty. Lovers sing beneath the moon. Birds in the trees, even the breezes, are starting to hum a deedly-dum, a carolling tune. Isn't the music kind of sweet to your ear? Cuddle up closer while I sing it, my dear. You'll hear it better if you're nestling near. Snuggle up and learn to sing the carolling song. Deedly-dum, my carolling tune. Isn't the music kind of sweet to your ear? Cuddle up closer while I sing it, my dear. You'll hear it better if you're nestling near. Snuggle up and learn to sing the carolling song.
Now, the Hector Q. Peabody Little Theater off Times Square brings you another in its series of dramatic productions. Today's presentation, Shakespeare Runneth Over. Today's story is an adaptation of one of the best-loved writings of Wilhelm Shakespeare. Our stars come to us from Hollywood, Broadway, and Peoria. Their talents include appearances on stage, screen, television, and radar. So friends, sit back, relax, and prepare to enjoy yourself. Our Hector Q. Peabody Little Theater off Times Square presents Shakespeare Runneth Over. Our program opens in the king's castle, where we find Macbeth in the kitchen shouting at his wife, Lady Macbeth. Listen.
Lady Macbeth, where is that dagger I used to see before me? Hast thou done away with it? I should like to have this leftover slice of ham.
Oh, Macbeth, I have taken thy dagger to kill the wicked wife of our noble servant, Julius.
What? Thou hast slain Rebecca, wife of mine loyal and trusting servant, Julius?
Yes, my lord. Pray, but I could not help myself.
Why didst thou commit this horrid deed, my fat wife?
Because, loyal husband, the wife of Julius was feeding our dog Spot.
And why should you have anything against Julius' wife feeding our dog Spot?
I desire that dog out of the house, do you hear me? I wanted that nasty old Spot out. Out, I say. Out, nasty old Spot.
Fie, that is the most dastardly thing I have ever heard. Where is our servant Julius?
In the garden, planting seeds for the cotton-picking festival.
Then I'll goest to get him.
For what, O noble husband?
To take you, my sweet Lady Macbeth, for his wife.
What? Why do you wish this, my lifelong companion?
You killed his wife. Now it is only fitting that he takest my wench for his own. Julius! Julius, come here!
Yes, O master. Your every wish is my command.
Julius, my wife has confessed to the slaying of thy spouse. Therefore, you are entitled to takest my wench for thy wife.
Yes, master, whatever you wish.
Therefore, Julius, therefore she is yours. She's over there, Julius.
Yes, my lord.
Go take her, Julius.
But she's running away, O lord.
Well, don't just stand there, Julius. Seize her.
I would like to play for you a little Mozart opera, which is an opera written by Mozart, and that's why we call it a Mozart opera. As a matter of fact, Mozart also wrote the music. Now, when the curtain rises, we are in the middle of a forest consisting of two trees. And when a tenor comes in, he's supposed to meet his soprano, but he's a little late, so he hides himself behind one of the trees in order to surprise her when she comes in a little later. So when she comes in, she can't find him because she was supposed to meet him, and she doesn't know that he's behind the tree. As a matter of fact, she knows that he was behind the tree because she saw that at a rehearsal. But she just pretends that she doesn't know, so she hides herself behind the other tree. Now the chorus comes in, and nobody knows why except Mozart, and he's dead. That's just too bad. Now her father shows up, and he's very angry because he just found out that she isn't his daughter. Now this has nothing to do with the opera. I found that out myself. Anyway, her father's very mad, and he decides that she must die. And she's a very obedient daughter, so she dies, and that's the end of the opera. Now you hear the conductor's footstep when he enters the pit. You think he's limping. Oh, no, he walks sideways. Here's the overture. That was the first part of the overture. Now you hear the second part, and that's exactly the same. Now the curtain rises, and the tenor comes in from the left. He's a little tall fellow, and he comes in a single file. And he goes behind the tree right away. Now the soprano comes in. She's a very heavy soprano, and she comes in backwards, but nobody notices the difference. He goes behind the other tree. Now the chorus comes in, and the light is dimmed, and we can hardly see them. And that's why they're dressed in a kind of cheap underwear, because they don't want to spend any money on expensive costumes when you can't see them anyway. Here they come. They fool around a little and ask each other why they're there, and they don't seem to know, as I told you before, so they decide to walk out again. And here they go. Now they get the money and go home. The father.
My daughter, you must die. My daughter, you must die. My daughter, you must die. My daughter, you must...
She doesn't understand so well.
My daughter, you must die.
And now she finally sings the death aria. She dies.
Folks, how would you like to be the proud owner of a 1975 patent Roadster Deluxe? Well, it could happen, and at absolutely no cost to you.
Yes, that's right. You can be the proud owner of a 1975 Patton Roadster Deluxe without paying one penny of the $7,895.52 for which these remarkable cars usually sell. How? Why, it's simple. All you have to do is send in the prize-winning entry in our new Hubbard Hubcap contest. Here's how it works.
The next time you stop in at your Hubbard Hubcap dealers for a set of hubcaps or any other Hubbard product, such as a license plate clamp, cow catchers, homogenized water vaporizers, it doesn't matter what you're buying. But while you're there, ask your dealer for the contest entry blank, which is yours free with every $25 purchase. The rest is simple.
All you do is fill in your name and address on the blank and the name and address of your Hubbard Hubcap dealer. Then complete the sentence at the bottom of the page, the one that begins, "I like Hubbard Hubcaps because."
You may use as many words as you like as long as you don't get nasty. And you can talk about any of the numerous advantages to using Hubbard Hubcaps, such as the music box inside each hubcap that plays soft background music for you when you remove the hubcap to change your flat tire.
When you're finished, just put your entry into an envelope along with the top from your present car and mail it to Hubbard Hubcap Contest, 29½ West Northeast Street, Southampton, Indiana. You may be the lucky winner of that 1975 Patton Roadster Deluxe.
Now, this contest is open to anyone over 3 months of age in the United States or in any of its possessions or territories. You may send in as many entries as you wish, but each one must be on an official entry blank and accompanied by the top from your old car. All entries must be postmarked not later than midnight, March 32nd, 1975. Decision of the judges will be final, and in case of a tie, we cannot afford to award duplicate prizes, but we will go so far as to take the car apart and divide the pieces between the winners.
So don't wait, folks. Get those entries rolling in. And when 1975 rolls around, who knows? You may be the lucky one.
Well, that's it for the Hector Q. Peabody today. And Hector didn't come again, and I'm all excited because he didn't get here, and I don't know what to do. I suppose we might as well just give the credits and leave, huh, Dan?
Why don't we? Should I start off?
Be my guest.
All right. Sound by Marconi.
Terpsichore by Dickory.
And Dickory by Doc.
Engineer Joe Abruscato. This is Chuck Shaden.
And Dan McGuire.
This has been a CLS production.